I'll tell you how you are. You're blessed.
Okay.
I know how you work. All right. So, if anyone is a page turner and likes to open their Bible and follow along, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And so you're welcome to go there. You may have recalled it possibly from last week, because that was the epistle last week as well. And so we're going to continue on, because Father Bill was on a roll. So
here we go.
That's why they call me Butter.
You're supposed to stop that.
You're supposed to stop that.
Yeah.
All right, before it gets out of hand. All right. So I started thinking, you know, we've gone through this whole season, you know, I mean, seasons, you go through the Nativity, and then we had Epiphany, and then we go through Lent, and then we have Easter, and then we have the Easter season, and then we have Pentecost, and here we are in what they call ordinary time, which is really extraordinary time, isn't it?
Amen.
Because it's the third season after, or the third Sunday after Pentecost, and that's probably a better way to think of it, because Pentecost just goes on, you see. And so that's where we are. But you see, you've kind of gone through all that stuff. And so here you are. You've graduated and you've got your degree. And you've heard those people, they say that, you know, well, yeah, you've got your degree. Have you thought about your life? Let me give you my card. Have you thought about your future? What are you going to do with it? You see what I mean? So now that you have that coveted personal relationship with Jesus, you know, that you're intimate with Jesus, what are you going to do with it? Okay. What happens next? What do you do next? Because, you know, in our church, we talked a lot about deepening your relationship with Jesus over the years. And I know a lot of you have very deep relationships with Jesus. And so what next? What happens then? What do you do? Now, backing up before you answer that question, thinking about the scripture from last week, and this is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And this was a scripture that Father Bill shared and expanded with us. Light shall shine out of darkness. He is the one who has shone in our hearts. You remember he talked about Moses and the veil being over his face and the glory of God resting upon him, right? And he quoted G.K. Chesterton, who said, it's not that Christianity has been tried and found wanting, it's just never been tried. And I'm paraphrasing, okay. Remember all that? Remember? You know, sometimes we wonder if you walk out of here after the sermon and you're like, what did he say? I don't remember anything. You know, so now you're caught up because you did remember that. I know you did. And he asked you at the end, what would it be like if all Christians walked in the glory of God? What would we see happen? And he brought that to us as a challenge, walking in the glory of God and us doing that. And of course, the very first and most important way to do that is to know Jesus, okay? To know him, to spend time with him, and to do the work of a relationship with him. Talking with him, yes, but more importantly, listening to him too, and getting that back and forth. So that kind of sets us up for where we are today, you see, because then we can keep moving on in that. We've got that personal relationship with Jesus down, okay? Now, the next thing that helps us walk in the glory of God is to give thanks. Give thanks. Easy. Easy. Thank you, Lord. Okay? Wasn't that easy? And so my scripture for today that I'm focusing on is 2 Corinthians 4, verse 15. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Our thanksgiving gives glory to God. Now, you know, when I read the scripture, all this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God, I got confused in my head, you know, I'm confused. There's too many words there. I'm like, what does this mean? I can't quite understand what all that's saying. But to try and simplify it, it's saying our thanksgiving causes glory to God. Okay? That's how I was able to simplify it so that I could understand it in my mind and not get confused. Trying my worst, you know, gangster impression. But coming here today, participating in Eucharist, the great Thanksgiving, by the way, brings glory to God. There you go. Simple as that. That's what Paul was saying. And the more people that give thanks to God, well, it just overflows and overflows. And glory occurs. Thanksgiving with others gives glory to God. All right. So, if you're open in your life about what God has done for you, you can tell people. You can tell them what God has done for you. If you're open with that, it might make others say, gee, I might like to have some of that myself. And so it becomes a way of sharing God with other people. Maybe a way that doesn't have to come out too much like, have you ever thought about your future? Kind of thing. You see what I mean? You can say, God, I can't. I got to share with you what God did for me. Now, there's one key to this little tool that you can have for talking to people about God. One little thing that's important, one little thing that's crucial. You actually have to be thankful. You actually have to have something to be thankful for, right? Okay. And, you know, that sometimes is where the problem comes in. Because you may say, I can't think of a thing to be thankful about right now and where I'm finding myself. Maybe you don't see anything that God has done for you. I understand that can happen. But we got to look a little harder in those times. Okay, because you know what? It's out there. There is a reason for you to be thankful. Okay. If nothing else, just read the last few chapters of any one of the Gospels. And there's something to be thankful there for you. You always have a reason to be thankful. And then, on top of that, if you give thanks in those terrible, tough times, when it's all going bad, when it looks like it's all going down the toilet, boom, that's a powerful example of faith to other people. It's in those bad times, if you give thanks, that you have a powerful, strong witness. Now, my notes here say, example needed. Because, you know, normally we try and make a point and then we do, an example to illustrate the point so that you understand it better. But I'm turning it around. I want you to give me an example of giving thanks in a tough time. Okay, that's the point that we're trying to make here. What does anybody think of a time when maybe you were going through bad stuff? I won't say the other word. Okay. And you still give thanks to God. Or maybe you know somebody else who went something, you know, through something. You know, it could be somebody famous. It could be, you know, I don't care. Does anybody think of a time where that happened? Come on. You can speak up. Just tell us a brief story. One second. Yeah, sure.
One second. I spent about 3 weeks in the hospital one time.
3 weeks.
Very depressed. And while I was there, I was able to share the gospel with many other people who were there with me who were very depressed.
Wow.
And I felt like Paul in prison giving thanks to God that I had a hope and a future.
Hallelujah. Okay, anybody top that? That's great. Praise God. Yes.
I had a situation where I was in the one of the situations was favorable and turned it over to the Lord. He led me to where I was supposed to be, not where I was.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yes. My mother just passed, and my coworker wanted to know why I didn't take 5 bereavement days. I said, because God's already filled my heart with the peace.
Right. Amen. Thankful for that. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. See, I knew you guys would have the example. I knew it, you know. And again, you know, the reason that we give these examples is to keep you awake. Okay. I just kept you all awake because you had to think. All right. These things that you have just heard give incredible glory to God. That gives glory to God by giving thanks in tough times. Okay. Paul just said it. He just told us that. And when you share that with other people, what you guys just shared here gave us greater faith. It increases our faith. Makes us stronger. Okay. And if you share it with people who don't know the Lord, it plants a seed. And they start to know a little bit about it and maybe think, oh, well, it might not be so bad, this Christianity stuff. Okay? Now, I understand that we all can go through times when it's hard to see anything good. Problems of the world can seem too big. Okay? Overwhelming to the point of shortness of breath. Okay? You just can't make it, and you're sinking. You're circling the drain. And as you're circling the drain, it's only one little thing you need to remember, and that is to say, Lord, help me. Remember that, just four little words. Someday in your life, Lord, help me. It's like the psalm today. If you heard the first verse, you said it. You actually read it. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. And once you've started that conversation with God, Lord, help me. Then you can ask, show me something good in my life. And he will. I think that's a prayer that will always be answered if you're listening. And from that little starting point down there in the pit, a dark place, he'll start showing you more and more things that you can be thankful for in your life. And I'm not just talking about, you know that God loves you, like the song, Jesus loves me, yes I know, for the Bible tells me so. That was my falsetto, by the way. But I'm talking about other tangible things on this earth in your life, whether it's family, friends, job, health, whatever it is. There's always something to be thankful for. You are definitely blessed. I told you that in the beginning of this word, right? You know, if you're sitting here or if you're listening to this sermon, you are blessed. It's not because I'm a great preacher, you understand, but it's because that means that somewhere inside of you, you have an interest, or even better, you have a knowledge, or even better, you have a love of God. And if you know that death is not the end, then you're blessed. And that's great. Hallelujah. But it doesn't end there. Okay. It doesn't end with you being thankful and all happy. It also needs to be shared. That's one of the reasons why he gave you the blessings. Yes, he gave them to you because he loves you. But he also loves a lot of other people. In fact, he loves all of them. And he wants those same people to have those blessings as well. Actually, just as you share a thanksgiving, you're blessing them. You're giving them a blessing. One way to share the blessing is to tell people how thankful you are. Okay? Because God has done so much for you. I'm not going to recite to you what God has done for you. You know. But tell people what you're thankful for. Don't sound like you're bragging, understand? But just be sincere. Tell people what God did for you. A certain situation, a thing that happened. Your car wouldn't start and somebody came out and tapped on your starter to get it to go. Anyway. You see, the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow for the glory of God. Oh, there's that scripture again. It's starting to make a little more sense to me now. The grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Huh. There's a little light shining through us. Now understand in all of this, okay? I don't make light of your troubles, all right? I'm not dismissing your troubles or your difficulties as insignificant. And nor does Paul. But yet, in that same scripture that you heard today, he writes, "For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison." Our light affliction? You call this light, Paul? Well, Paul knows affliction, okay? But he calls even what he went through light in comparison to the glory that awaits, okay? I mean, if you've been flogged or stoned, left for dead, shipwrecked and, you know, floated around in the sea for 24 hours, then okay, you're online with Paul. But even then, your affliction is light. Because it's a matter of perspective. In comparison to the glory, it's nothing. It's light affliction. Okay? You see, the troubles that you go through are not in vain. It's not in vain. That's what Paul's saying. In fact, that trouble actually produces glory. That's what that scripture actually said. And I was starting to think about that, and I was thinking, maybe it's a glory machine, okay? Like a glory machine. And I started to picture this long kind of thing, you know, with gears and lights on it, and you put the stuff in one side, and glory comes out. Oh, it comes out the other side. It's kind of a, you know, Dr. Seussical looking sort of thing, you see? It's called the glory machine. And you put your troubles in one end, and out the other end comes, glory. And even better, you put your thanksgivings in one end, and out comes, more glory. For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. You see, when you have these tough times, giving thanks produces glory. I think I said that. Going through them produces glory. Bishop Jones wrote this. He said, when you give thanks in tough times, it opens a portal of personal victory. And you posture yourself for divine intervention. You see, it goes deeper. Because that portal of victory for you is a living and grateful life. You can say, thank you, Lord, for this trouble that I'm going through. But if you keep saying that over and over and you practice it as a presence, you actually come to a new place where your mind is grateful. And you see things from that grateful perspective. And it becomes a mindset, a way of living, a worldview, shall we say. And bad things will happen, but you will thank God for the good thing in it. That's that portal of personal victory he's talking about. And then that place is where you shine the glory of God in the world. Wherever you go. Now, in that passage, there was a very important word that you would have missed and I would have missed as well, too. It said, you know, that passage says, for our momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. The Greek word that you might have missed is ego. Ego. Wow, you know what an ego is, don't you? Everybody has an ego. It means me or I am, or in this case, the way it's translated as in many places in the Bible, is for us. The glory is for us. Light affliction is producing for us glory. That means we get glory too. God gets glory, yes, but we get it too. Wow, that's cool. God too, but you too. So am I saying that God has caused the affliction? No. The world does that just fine without his help. But God uses it to produce glory for you. Light affliction is only for a moment, but God has an eternity planned for you. You say, well, what is that glory? Well, I don't know. I don't know what it is. It's indescribable, as a matter of fact. It's an eternity that somehow exceeds our greatest expectations of it in glory and beauty, in wonder and majesty, in awe and blessing, joy and love. I can keep on going with more and more words, and we won't describe glory completely. But that's what you get. God's eternal plan for you. You see, it's kind of like a bank account. You're storing up all this glory by going through the tough stuff. So as you're going through the latest light affliction, remember, it's just for a moment. It's going to pass. And you know the advocate, the spirit, the comforter, who is with you every step of the way. So how do you answer the question Father Bill gave us? How do you walk in the glory of God through your life that Paul writes about? How do you meet the challenge? First of all, you have a relationship with Jesus. You deepen it. Second, give thanks in all circumstances. Gee, that's somewhere in the Bible. Rejoice always. I know that the Morrises took this scripture to heart, a long time ago. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances for God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks. In doing this, in practicing this, you begin to live a grateful life. You approach things with an attitude of thanksgiving. Your mindset looks at the world from a place of blessings. So give thanks, number two. Number three, share your thanksgiving with those who don't know God yet. Yeah, you can share them with each other. Builds faith. But share them with somebody who doesn't know God. Be sincere and describe it well. You know, you don't have to be bragging or anything like that. But make them hungry. Okay? You see, they're going through the same light afflictions that we are. They don't have Jesus. They don't know the comforter, counselor, spirit. That'd be a tough place. So those three things, have your relationship with Jesus, give thanks, and share it with somebody else. When you stand firm in the tough times, that starts the glory machine. When you give thanks in tough times, the glory machine goes into high gear. Yeah. Remember, don't forget the indescribable beauty, the joy, the wonder, the blessing, and the love that is yours. Amen.